Are you ready?
Oh, yeah!
Let me tell you something, brother. If you're looking for the best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be in the podcasting universe, then look no further than Ring the Bell, bringing you the best in the world at what we do. And what we do is take over the world of wrestling reviews, baby. Now, ring the bell.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, welcome to Ring the Bell. It's been a bit of time since I've done that one. We're back with a new show. Who is this? We, you, are, me, I. I'm out of practice. I'm host Andrew with me once again. It's Mr. Ross Bell.
Hello, mate. How you doing?
I'm good, you?
Yeah, very good. Very good. It's an exciting week. You're getting married. There's a Saudi Arabia pay-per-view. Everyone loves Saudi Arabia in this country at the minute. It's great.
Especially up north. Week. Newcastle fans, they love those Saudi Arabians.
I'm big friends with a Newcastle fan. He's in on another post podcast, and he's over the moon by this. And I don't blame him. Like, I'm a Leeds fan. We had Ken Bates, who was fucking the death of our club for 15 years as well. So good on him. Well, enjoy it.
As a Pompey fan, we've been here before.
Yeah, exactly.
Many, many times with people who all apparently passed the fit and proper persons test at the Premier League put forth. And all
at least Saudi Arabia exists, though. It's a real thing.
I mean, the Pompey owners at various points, it seemed to be a case of, do you have money? Yes. Can you prove it? No. Yeah, that's good enough for me.
Yeah.
So Newcastle are now owned by the richest man, he's the richest club owner in the world. So Newcastle are, for all intents and purposes, the richest football club in the world.
Yeah, owned by a state, an entire country rather than just the Saudi state.
Which, of course, means they are going to sign Haaland, Mbappe, and every other player in the world. Because just because they can offer the money doesn't mean his players are actually going to want to go to Newcastle.
I can't wait till the Prince of Saudi tells Vince that he has to send Brock Lesnar to Newcastle for a pre-match.
I mean, if we build on the basis that Saudi, as we've discussed in the past with Crown Jewel and Super Showdown and whatnot, that the Saudi princes and the Saudi government ask for the Ultimate Warrior or Yokozuna, does that mean that at some point the Saudi prince is going to go, hey, whoever gets the poison chalice that will be the next Newcastle position as manager, because Steve Bruce is obviously not going to stay in that role. And also, this feels weird, like a Man the Post episode now. Crossover. I don't know how that's happened.
That's fine.
Are they going to be calling for, like, Sir Alex Ferguson? Are they going to be calling for, like, Jackie Milburn? Are they going to be calling for, Keegan?
Going to get Shearer back up front.
Well, yeah. It's like... Yeah, what do they picture as the front line for that Newcastle team?
Yeah, it's like,
what's Peter Beardsley doing? whatever it is, keep him away from kids. Yeah. Okay, right. So, that's our football talk done. I don't know if that appeals to, but that's our football talk done. Back onto the wrestling. So, yes, I've stepped back on this one. This is kind of Ross's train. He has devised somewhat of a format. We don't really have a format on this show.
Very rough running order.
There is kind of a rough idea of what we're doing today. So, Ross, why don't you explain what we're going to do on this, our little comeback show here?
Yeah, right. We're starting with the draft. We had the draft a couple of weeks back. I like the draft. It's always good fun to see guys switch shows and mix it up a little bit. So I want to get your opinions on who you think won the draft, basically. There's always these things on NFL drafts and NBA drafts and stuff. So why not have one on the WWE? Let's start with the tag division. So... Raw's tag division as it stands has got AJ and Omos, Alpha Academy, Cruz and Aziz, the Dirty Dogs, who are still attacking somehow, the Hurt Business, the Mysterios, RK Bro, and the Street Profits. Decent lineup there.
So they're all Raw, are they?
Yeah, they're all Raw teams.
When did Gable and Otis go to
Raw? Drafted. Yeah, they were drafted.
Okay.
They're one of the untelevised draft picks.
Okay, that must mean a lot to the wrestlers when they hear about their changes online.
Just find out about it on Twitter. SmackDown has 9 teams current. Well, it did have 9 teams. They've now got 8 teams after the Mansoor and Ali breakup this week.
I didn't know they got SmackDown either. I thought that was a Raw fit. Fucking
they got drafted. So SmackDown has got Angel Garza and Humberto Carrillo. They've got Happy Corbin and Madcap Moss, my favourite tag team. They've got Hit Row, who got called up from NXT. They've got Mahal and Sankey. They did have Mansoor and Ali, but not anymore. They've got the New Day of Kofi and Woods. They've got Shinsuke Nax and Rick Boogs.
So is Boogs a wrestler then?
Yeah, he's classed as a wrestler now. Yeah, they're officially a tag team. And they've got the Usos and they've got the Viking Raiders. So the tag divisions, Who stands out for you most there?
I think, as probably evidenced by the questions I've just asked you in that last 30-45 seconds, very, very brief explanation here, and it also ties into why this is our comeback show, quote-unquote. Since SummerSlam, I can't speak for others in the Ring the Bell group, but myself, I decided that maybe it was time for a bit of a step back from modern day wrestling, and because I reached that point where it's like, this isn't fun anymore. Don't get me wrong, I popped for Brock's comeback and the ponytail and the beard, and it's like, perfect, amazing. But also Brock's new shirt, the Evolution of Brock. Fuck me, I need to own that shirt.
Good,
my
isn't it?
God, I need to own that shirt. Wedding present from me to me, I think. But I had to take a step back, and it wasn't to watch AEW, which at one point I was planning to, and I thought, no, because 38 is too young for suicide. So that wasn't necessary. Anyway, so it's kind of some of that stuff that Ross just said about Mansoor and Ali being on SmackDown, I didn't see that happening, didn't even know about that. So, it's kind of, there may be times for this episode where you think, does he watch anymore? And the answer is no.
Everyone needs a break from wrestling. I had a good couple of year break from wrestling when Shawn Michaels broke my heart, and I'm back into it, not to the level that I was before. I don't watch every week, but I keep an eye on it. I read the reports. I have the group chats with you, a couple of different group chats we've got going on and stuff. We keep up to date, but we're not kind of on top of things as much as we were. And just read our iTunes comments. People don't like us anyway. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, we'll get back to that. We'll circle back to that at the end of the show. But it's the draft. So that was the question, tag teams.
So looking at it, for me, Raw has the more tag teams. They've got the Hurt Business, they've got RK-Bro, the Profits, the Mysterios, until their inevitable breakup, the Dirty Dogs as well, and AJ and Omos. As much as I don't like Omos, they're a good tag team. And Alpha Academy, they've got proper tag teams. But then SmackDown has got the New Day, and they've got Corbin, and they've got the Usos. So it's hard for me to say who won this.
Well, I mean, Corbin and Moss, I mean, that seems more like Moss is at his ringside enforcer, more than a tag team, you know. Again, Shinsuke Nax and Boogs. Boogs is just a guitarist. Shinsuke is the singles, who was recently up until recently a king. He's abdicated that because of the King of the Ring tournament going on. Yeah, I thought so. Alpha Academy, whatever. New Day, they are what they are. Obviously, Woods is currently in the King of the Ring sort of final four. And the good thing with the New Day, and I think Big E's shown this and Kofi a few years ago with Kofi Mania, is that they can split off and do separate things, but they'll always be a group. And I think the guys have done interviews before where they said that we never actually wanted to split officially. We'll just go and do separate things and branch out. And I did have to laugh when I saw around the draft time, and I said, oh no, they're going to split up the New Day. It's like, but they did that last draft when Big E went to SmackDown and they stayed on Raw, and they still end up back together again. They put difference on the other show. It's like, this would be the last time they ever team up. Will it now? Will it really? Yeah,
we got 50-year-old members of DX teaming up couple of years back, so they're never going to be fully broken up.
I think there's good teams on both sides. I'd probably have to edge it to Raw because they have got Chad Gable, who is ridiculously underrated, and
he is.
I hate to say this, but it does seem like an AEW pickup because I think he'd fit in there, and he's not going to succeed where he is now. Otis was never good, and I'll stand by that.
No, I still don't like Otis.
Through the Money the Bank stuff, and yes, don't get me wrong, the thing with Mandy at Mania, it's almost up there as a Randy and Liz moment, not going to lie. It's kind of hovering around that top three or four position. Obviously not number one, of course, but but RK-Bro, and I love me some Randy Orton, as we've documented on this show before. And AJ is still AJ. He's being wasted, but it's given him something to do, and they're hoping
it
has
AJ Styles on the show.
Yes, and I think they're hoping it has that Shawn Michaels Diesel rub-off effect, even though in hindsight, was that actually a good thing when Michaels and Diesel split? Because it gave us the awful WWF title reign of Diesel, and then obviously led to the good of the NWO, and that's a different show for another time on the topic, but I'd give it to Raw.
I think you're right. RK-Bro for me, just top it. I love the Usos. I think they're absolutely fantastic. And Kofi and Woods.
Yes.
I could, those two have had some incredible feuds, Hell in a Cell matches and all sorts throughout the years, and I'm happy for him to go back to that. SmackDown does have the opportunity now because Big Sheamus on SmackDown now. They can reform the bar if they want to, because Cesaro's still there. He's not going to get his main event push, they might as well.
He's had his main event push. That was it.
Exactly. One
main
That's event. Over.
That was literally it. All that talk of, oh, this is it now. It's like, it would be it, but you've got the best thing in wrestling in your main event and you shouldn't go anywhere. It's we'll cover it obviously when you get onto the main draft for the singles, but all this great talent on SmackDown obviously was Kevin Owens and was Finn Balor. And you think, okay, that's good.
Yeah.
But where are they going to go? Because no one's beaten Roman Reigns, and no one should beat Roman Reigns.
No, even Brock won't beat him. It's that's the level that he's at now. I think I'll go for Raw as well. Okay, bro, they've made me like Matt Riddle. This week on Raw, I just saw a gift today. It's a Riddle saying, is that a Viper in your pocket or just supposed to see me? For fuck's sake. I randomly just looks at him and you can see his little smile just creeping on the corner of his face.
I don't know what the end game is for that team, and I'm pretty sure they don't know either.
No. It's a feud between them, with probably Riddle coming out on top and pushing him further up the card, but I don't know. Anyway, I think we're in agreement. Raw won the tag team thing. Let's go to the women's division next. So we got a bit confused at this before we started the show. So Becky Lynch is now on Raw, along with Raw also got, where is my list? They got Belair as well. They got Carmella. They got Liv Morgan, Tamina, Tegan Knox, and Zelina Vega.
Tamina train is hurtling towards Raw.
It's on Monday night.
The Tamina train. Come on!
Broken up her and Natty, I think. I'm not sure where Natty is anymore, but it doesn't matter. SmackDown basically just got Charlotte and Shayna Baszler, which on its own is incredible. The reignited push for Shayna recently has been fantastic to watch and where she needs to be. But I'd be concerned that you get through that and you get through Flair and Banks, maybe, or Banks and Baszler, any sort of combination of those three, you're a bit short on women on SmackDown.
Didn't Alexa get drafted, or did she get drafted to stay on
She's
Raw?
She's still on Raw, yeah.
So here's my confusion with the draft thing, because
Raw's loaded.
Well, that's standard. When they announced quite a few people on the draft and say that, for example, they announced Alexa Bliss to Raw, but she was already on Raw.
Yeah,
I thought the point of a draft was like you announce a switch. You don't go, hey, on Monday Night Raw, we're drafting somebody we already had.
This is the issue with the draft with a company like WWE. For the NBA or the NFL, they're all free agents. If they made everyone a complete free agent before the start of it, if they announced it like everyone is now a free agent, you can draft whoever you want to whatever show, that would make it make sense that Raw keeps Alexa or they keep Big E. But because they didn't do that, the first pick of the draft was Roman Reigns. Well, of course, SmackDown's going to keep Roman Reigns. You've got the first pick. He's the biggest thing in the company. He's already on the show, but you're not going to take the chance to draft Bobby Lashley and then have Raw take Roman Reigns from you. They've got themselves into a bit of a corner with how they do these drafts, unfortunately.
And apology if this was on your to discuss list. Brock Lesnar is not assigned to a show. He's got a free agency, basically.
Yes, Brock is a free agent along with Asuka, Bayley, Eva Marie, which is insane. Get on Raw. Lacey Evans and Maryse. I don't know why they count Maryse in there. But Brock is a free agent along with Elias and then, some other blokes. Titus O'Neil, Slapjack.
Didn't Elias have a series of segments where he was changing his gimmick?
Yeah. He was back to being the drifter, whatever he was before.
That's right, and he hasn't been seen on TV since.
Yeah. So basically all the injured people are free agents. Asuka, but Bayley.
Have they explained how Brock is a free agent other than Brock simply saying because of Paul Heyman?
Because of something Paul Heyman did, Brock Lesnar is now a free agent, which, I'm fine with that. If he just shows up and destroys Big E, shows and destroys Roman, just does what he wants, that's perfect for Brock Lesnar, isn't it? That's where he needs to be.
I know this is a silly thing to say, but would it have been really hard to think for 5 minutes, just think of an actual thing they could say that Heyman did?
Yeah.
Because otherwise, carry on.
Just to secure the signatures of the Usos, he relinquished control of Brock Lesnar, let him be a free agent, something like that,
Anything.
To make sure Roman stays on SmackDown, he had to give up rights to Brock. That would have been sorted out in 2 seconds.
Women then, yeah. I mean, you got, if Raw's coming out of this with Becky, who, okay, he'll maybe miscast whatever, but the fact they've still got Becky Lynch, they've got Bianca, they've got Alexa when she's obviously back because she's off on the injured list or whatever, some sort of list at the moment.
Let me just run you through the Raw where is what's then. So, yeah, Belair, got Ripley, Nikki Ash, Doudrop, Nia Jax, Zelina Vega, Becky Lynch, Alexa Bliss, Carmella, Dana Brooke, Liv Morgan, Mia Yim, Tamina, and Tegan Nox. SmackDown,
fucking hell, that's a roster.
Yeah, SmackDown has got Charlotte, Naomi, Toni Storm, Sasha Banks, Shayna Baszler, and then Aaliyah, Xia Li, Natalia, and Shotzi back up. Raw's far and away got the bigger star power, isn't it? I know they see Flair as their woman's Roman, but she's fucking horrible to watch.
And yeah, that is a very top heavy roster for Raw when it comes to the women. And the confusion over, well, our confusion over the champions and whatnot could be made even worse after Crown Jewel next week.
I think it'll get sorted out in Survivor Series. That's what I've, maybe all the belts will be on the line or something like that. And they'll
or at least for the women anyway.
Yeah. Just to sort out SmackDown's belt.
Yeah, I mean, so Raw's probably got, well, Raw, if we think, has got the best tag division, Raw's absolutely got the best women's division.
It has, yeah. Any division that's got Alexa Bliss on for me wins. Then also Sasha. I love Sasha, but she's got Flair and Baszler. I don't care about Naomi. They're wasting Toni Storm.
Yeah.
It's really, really weak on SmackDown. Right then, the men's division. So the people that were drafted, there were some big names moved. Where's my little thing? Oh, there we go. So SmackDown now has got, let me run you through the list. Well, the list might take quite a while, but I'll pick out the big names. It's got Roman. They've drafted Drew. They've got Kofi still and Xavier Woods. Happy Corbin is there. SmackDown looks really, really weak. I'll be honest. You've got Sammy, you've got Jinder, Cesaro, Ricochet, Sheamus, Nakamura, The Usos, Jeff Hardy. That's it. What?
I'm not hearing many challenges for Roman's belt.
No, there's a massive lack of challenges for Roman. You can get a couple of months out of Jeff Hardy. I think I think you can. He said he wanted that feud with Roman, and you can get him, TLC's in December. You can kind of use Jeff as a guy to get through to the end of the year, probably. You've maybe got a little feud with Sheamus and Roman. That would be a big fucking two meaty boys smacking meat out of each other, whatever Biggie said.
Yes. did you hear that he wanted to put that on the T-shirt and legal wouldn't clear it? WWE legal would not clear big meaty men slapping meat. Can't think why.
Fair enough. Fair enough. And you've got the inevitable Roman and Drew feud again.
That Kofi sounds like a mania to me. I think potentially it's that big.
That's where they're going. You've got to think. There's no other guy on SmackDown bar Brock as the free agent.
So does Drew win the Rumble to get Roman?
Possibly.
We're nearly mid-October. So even though creative don't do this anymore, we inevitably start looking forward to the Rumble. So we look at the upper mid-card players.
Yeah.
Who legitimately is in the shot winning the Rumble? On Raw, legitimately, maybe two at a push.
Raw, yeah.
That's it. Who could really actually think, you know what? They actually could get a singles push and win the Rumble. One or two.
The thing with Big E being the champion, that makes it a little bit more open on Raw. Like, Big E against Riddle. It's not a main event, but it could be that title match that opens the show. Get that out, put it there.
I look on SmackDown and I see Drew as the Rumble winner because I don't see anyone else. Actually, across our show, I'd say Drew to win the Rumble and face Roman at Mania next year. For me, that's the early path I could see them taking that they should stick to. Keep them apart between now and then.
Yeah, unless you want to go with Bobby. They're continuing the push with Finn Balor, it seems, at the minute, so that could...
Yeah, but he's on Raw now, isn't he? And there's no way he's getting pushed to the top on Raw.
Yeah, you don't want Balor versus Big E either. That's face versus face, and you're not having that in a WrestleMania match. You've got Seth, I suppose, as well. But yeah, so SmackDown's roster, it's looking a bit weak. like there's a lot of very good mid-card talent there, and the opportunity to push some guys, Ricochet, for instance, Nakamura versus Roman, I'm all for that. But they can't rebuild Nakamura now, can they?
The way
he's dropped so far.
And if you push someone, really, what's the point when you know they're not going to beat Roman? Like, genuinely, it's like, oh, Cesaro's getting the push, but he's not going to beat him. No, but as long as he can look good. Like, we're at that point now where as long as our favourite looks good against Roman Reigns, that's it. That we don't invest in the, he might just sneak it out. He's not going to. Yeah. Like, he's not going to lose to Roman. Like, Roman loses to two people, Drew and The Rock. That's the only people that Roman, in my mind, loses to within the next two years.
Company.
Yeah, so basically everyone, he's Cena came back to job to Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
Goldberg would have jobbed to Roman Reigns if it wasn't for COVID. Who else is Kevin Owens jobbed to Roman fucking 4 months in a row, it seems. Yeah. Everyone's job is to make Roman even better or look even better. Not that they need to, because Roman just fucking looks incredible on his own. Did you hear, apparently, he's one of the all-time top merch sellers now, on par with Cena numbers, and he's the top heel in the business.
That's incredible. God. Yeah, like, that's what Vince cares about. He doesn't care about your seventh TV program of the week going up against his last hour of Hard on SmackDown. He cares about this money rolling through his door. And he's got it with Brock. He's got it with Big E and The New Day and Roman and all of these guys. They all sell so much merch that makes Vince so much money that he couldn't really care what other companies are doing, I don't think.
This is the Roman they wanted, but they wanted him as a babyface. The problem is they've got to really show restraint by not turning him too early, and they've got to let the crowd turn him, not they turn him. That's the way it's got to be done.
It's got to be a natural thing,
But they're nowhere near that point yet. He has still got so much more to do in this heel run.
Do another 2 years of this, I think. Like, there's
we're talking San Martino. We're talking long-term, years-long title reign here.
That's what you want, because it makes him, whoever does finally beat him, it's such an incredible moment that it needs to be built up for years and years and years. Someone working their way up, maybe even from NXT all the way up.
And The Rock ain't beating him. The Rock will come back to put his cousin over, which means the only person that roster from top to bottom, and maybe NXT, because NXT do have Walter, and I will fucking die on the hill that Walter is that good. Roman. Fuck me, that's some meat to slap. But on the main roster right now, the only person I can see who could actually beat Roman Reigns is Drew McIntyre. There is no doubt in my mind there's no one else other than him.
No, which is mad. Like, it is. Where Drew was, six, seven years ago, stuck as a member of the three-man band.
I hate to bring them up, but you look over on AEW right now, and Bryan Danielson is looking better than he has done in years. And CM Punk is kind of working that rust off against the younger guys while he builds up. And Christian is main eventing, you know, their biggest show of the year, and he's looking like he hasn't missed a beat. And you think...
Yeah.
But
then all of them... It's not believable that it's the big guy, little guy thing again, but it does happen, obviously. But Punk versus Roman, as much as people love Punk, and I love that he was my favorite for years and years and years, I wouldn't invest in him being able to beat Roman Reigns with this.
No, exactly. And obviously, Daniel Bryan at Mania, Edge and Bryan were
stacked.
There. They got beat, they got stacked, they got pinned, and they got kicked out of the company. One of them did. That's the people that we talk about that are doing good numbers for Dynamite and AEW, not so much Rampage, that's dropping down and down on Friday nights. But the people that are behind the Dynamite numbers, like the XWE guys, they are doing great work for AEW. Can't take it away from them. But other than maybe Danielson, would any of those guys really make that much of a difference on WWE TV? And that's not a criticism. That's absolutely not a knock, because I love Christian, have done for years. Won't be in the Hall of Fame now like he deserves to, probably not for some time yet. CM Punk, as we said, one of our favourites. You know, that summer of Punk before Triple H ruined it was amazing. Bryan Danielson, it's just fucking Daniel, you know, it's Bryan Danielson.
Been the best in the world for a couple of years.
Exactly. And his retirement and then his return, two of the all-time emotional moments I've ever watched in wrestling. But are these guys, maybe Danielson aside, are they guys that you'd really want to see invested with time on WWE now when Roman Reigns is the top dog?
Yeah, exactly.
The big dog, the head of the table, the tribal chief, who shouldn't be losing.
No. No, he shouldn't. Not to anyone, really, at the minute. Like you say, Drew's probably the only guy. So SmackDown, apart from Raw and, Roman and Drew, you've got a lot of kind of underneath guys, which you can feed to Roman for a couple of months feud. I think you can get like a TLC match out of Roman and Jeff, maybe. Like to just a December pay-per-view, just throw it out there. Give it as a match for... Gets Jeff one final kind of main event push.
Mm-hmm.
Raw, on the other hand, is ridiculous. You've got Big E at the top of the card, and you've got Randy Orton and Riddle. You've got Edge over there now. You've got the Bearcat. Apparently, that's his real name now, not Keith Lee anymore. You've got the Mysterios. They're going to have a feud on Raw. That's going to take up a lot of time every week, unfortunately. But then you've got Bobby. You've got MVP. You've got Seth. Damian Priest with his massive push. AJ Styles. Kevin Owens is on Raw. Finn Balor's on Raw. You've got Karrion Kross. You've got the rest of the Hurt Business. The Miz is still there, who's still an upper mid-card talent as well. And then they also drafted Gable Stevenson, who can't wrestle for another year yet for the company because of some sort of contract he's got. But they're going to make a huge fuss out of him when he comes in. So Raw looks absolutely stacked.
So stacked that you can't see all those guys getting suitable TV time.
It's too stacked. Moving Seth and Edge over was a mistake, I think.
Thing is, once Becky went, you knew Seth was going. And even though the Edge and Seth thing probably didn't need to go to Crown Jewel to finish it.
Mm.
I don't know. I mean, from an Edge tangent all over the place now, so apologies. And apologies for stamping over your format that you've
That's got. Fine.
But on SmackDown, Edge did Roman. He did Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
Who was really left for Edge to work with on SmackDown other than Roman Reigns?
Yeah, no, I'm happy for Edge to have moved. Again. It's Seth that should have been against Roman.
But then it's heel versus heel. And as Seth said on the Broken Skull sessions, he gets cheered more than he thought he would doing this thing, this gimmicky. And the whole drip thing is... Maybe I'm just old, I don't know. But other than the suits, fuck me, you know, amazing. And if I can find where that suit you got for Austin, that jacket, I'm all over it. And I'm still looking. Absolutely still looking. If anyone knows where that one can be bought from, tell me, messages, contact details at the end of the show.
Yeah.
But yeah, if Seth gets a following against Roman Reigns, are you cutting Seth's legs out from under him by having him have to lose to Roman Reigns?
Yeah, so
keep them apart until WrestleMania or a WrestleMania.
Yeah, for me, you keep Seth doing what he's doing with Edge, and then you move him on to I don't see where he moves on to next on Raw, because he's not going to go up to Big E unless he does go to Big E. But then what's the point of Edge being there unless he's there for like a blood feud or a title feud? Because he's only part time, so he's not going to be there every week to carry a story. So he needs to be
go through that list
event.
Again. What heels have you got on Raw? Like top heels.
Heels on Raw. Bobby, I suppose, is a heel. Kind of. I am struggling to find a heel on Raw.
Who the fuck's Edge going to work with then? Okay, the top faces who could legitimately turn heel on Edge.
Randy, but we've done that.
Done
Riddle.
That.
Riddle could turn on Randy, and then Edge could come to the rescue. I don't want that. No, Keith Lee could be a good heel, but he won't be a heel.
Apparently, he is a heel. In which case, if he is a heel, put him with the Hurt Business. Thank you very much.
Yep, make that the biggest, best faction in WWE right now.
Oh, fuck it. Okay, I've no idea who Edge works with after Hell in a Cell.
No, because they're only heels. The only names that are jumping out to me. Are Apollo Crews and the Commander Aziz.
But then I suppose we're in October now. Edge works Crown Jewel. I assume loses to Seth. They're one apiece, aren't they?
Yes. Seth has to win it, says the full
time. Are they one apiece? Edge won at SummerSlam. Seth won the TV one, the MSG one, didn't he?
Yeah.
Okay. So, so Seth, you'd think, probably will win because Edge doesn't need to win feuds. And so far, he hasn't won a feud.
No, he hasn't. To be fair to him, he's come back and he's
beat Orton at Mania, but then lost to him in the world's greatest wrestling match ever. He won the Rumble, then he did beat Orton the next night.
Yeah.
He lost at Mania. He lost to Roman at Money in the Bank.
Mm-hmm.
He lost... Okay, he beat Seth at SummerSlam, but then he lost to him on TV.
Yeah. Okay, the biggest TV show of the year. Yeah.
So Edge loses. Edge goes away until Rumble?
Yeah.
Maybe.
He'll be back for Rumble, definitely, yeah.
Okay, so that might explain then why Edge doesn't need to have anyone lined up to work with because he's not going to be around.
Yeah. But then I don't get what he do with Seth, because Seth is like, he's the ultimate tweener right now.
I mean,
he's hated but loved at the same time. He gets cheered, but he is at the core a bad guy.
It's a drop down. It's a demotion for Seth, but, and I'd fucking hate these words coming out of my mouth. They do have another King of Drip on Raw.
They do. And I'd be more than happy to watch Seth versus John Morrison.
Yeah, absolutely. For work rate, yes. But Seth's up here.
Mm.
Morrison's down here.
Yeah, Morrison could have been up there, but they brought him back and stuck him with the Miz for a year.
So does Seth get brought down to that level? And there's all due respect to Morrison. This isn't on him. This is his position on the card.
Yeah.
And the gimmick he's given, that a drip feud, it's something for Seth to do.
Yeah. The only other thing he could do would be to battle the Hurt Business and Bobby, presuming that Big E's busy with someone else in
or
the title
Seth
picture.
Seth challenges Damian Priest.
Yeah, we've seen before he's happy to take that US title and run with it, the IC
even
title.
If he,
with that
even
as well.
If he doesn't win it, he challenges it. It's a win for Damian. Seth can take a loss. He's virtually Teflon in that regard.
I'm coming around to Priest as well. I wasn't a fan before, but he's got the work rate. He's just his look from it. I don't like his look at all. But put him with
he
Seth.
He was really shoddy against Sheamus at the pay-per-view. Yeah. He was missing a lot. I don't know if it was nerves, or just an off night. I don't know. But
yeah. But then you put him with someone like Seth, then that's going to be... He can cover a lot of that, I think.
Yeah. Okay, I mean, Raw sounds stupidly stacked, and they win the draft all over then. I mean, it's back to the old days of Raw takes the lead on everything, even though SmackDown
is... AJ and Omos. Make AJ heel.
Apparently, that was the plan. I read somewhere this week that they was that close. It was pretty much done. And then somebody very high up actually is like, no. And they actually listened. And they said, okay, scrap it. Keep it going.
You need to. AJ versus Big E. Couple of months for the title. I'm happy with that.
Thing is, Big E can face Seth. Big E can face AJ. Big E can face fucking anyone.
Kevin Owens is there. Karrion Kross, Finn Balor.
So, Kevin Owens, you bring him up. There's a lot of talk about Kevin Owens. His contract's up in January.
Yeah, they're
going
to do nothing.
Do you see
with
him going?
Yeah, he'll be gone.
AEW?
Yeah. Almost certainly, because they'll love to bring him in. Kevin Steen's here, blah, blah, blah. And,
he's got the history with the Bucks and Adam Cole. Exactly. And that you think, you know, there are quality matches waiting with Danielson, with Omega, with Christian, with the Bucks, with Adam Cole. It's there for him. It gives him a few more years where he can actually be happy again, because... Mm. I love Kevin Owens, and it hurts me to see him clearly not happy with what he's doing.
Yeah, we're huge KO fans, and when he got his title run originally, that was fantastic. Just jumping back to Seth, something in the Broken Skull sessions he said about he's got three more years left on his contract. And then he said something else that we'll see where we are at that point. The internet took that to mean, oh, he's joining AEW. I took that to mean, he's just going to retire.
That's what I thought.
Like, he's got as much money as he needs. His wife is the biggest female wrestler in the world. They've got a young daughter. Like, go and enjoy your life with all of your money.
For me, Seth is WWE. That he won't go somewhere else. Yeah.
No, because they took him from Ring of Honor and made him the biggest guy in the world. They gave him that mania cash in and everything like that. Yeah,
I think most guys on the roster, especially at the moment, with the money on offer from AEW and the current publicity they're getting and the people that are there that can work great matches with, absolutely.
Yeah.
I think there's a handful of guys on the WWE roster that wouldn't take that opportunity, no matter how much money was thrown. I know, obviously, Edge, without mentioning the name, Edge said he got an offer from them before he got cleared, and that kind of pushed Vince to go,
he took that to Vince and said, like...
Yes, and he used that as leverage. He was never going to go to AEW. He wasn't.
No, he's a businessman at heart, and he did what's best for him.
Of course.
There's a couple of names that would really hurt, I think, if they went. Seth would be the top of all. Yeah. He's my favourite wrestler, maybe of all time at this point. Balor as well, which unfortunately I could see happening. But if he went to AEW, I'd be distraught. Because he should be at the top of this card.
I wouldn't be surprised, in all honesty, again, because a lot of those sort of guys... do have that history with some of the people on the AEW roster in positions. Yeah. Like I saw a story that the Young Bucks pretty much brought in Bobby Fish on their own. Yeah. They engineered the whole deal outside of Tony Khan. It was down to the Bucks and obviously them being EVPs, and they do have a huge say in hirings and stuff like that. Yeah.
WCW.
Yeah. Shade tear. Yeah, Balor should have been so much more and still could. Well, no, he couldn't be now. I think it's past the point of it. The Universal Championship thing was great for a night. And then the NXT demotion didn't help him. It didn't. And then coming back up and he's lost to Roman straight away.
Yeah,
As the demon as well.
The demon, yeah.
Talking of the Fiend, Bray Wyatt, his 90 days is up soon.
It is, AEW bound from the sounds of it. AEW, yeah.
Yep. Looks like Braun Strowman's off to Impact is the latest talk as well.
Yeah, fair enough. I think Impact.
They got underrated. The Iconics. They got the Iconics.
Yeah, they have. They're underrated as a show as well. I watch it occasionally, and it's actually just very good, solid wrestling, coherent storylines, and it's not overblown as a massive thing. It's just we're doing fine, just bugging along.
So Balor, I could see him go. I don't know when his contract's up, but I could see him going. Kevin Owens, I can absolutely see going.
KO goes, Zayn goes as well, probably.
Zayn's deal's up about the same time. I think they would love to have El Generico against Kevin Steen.
Yeah.
It writes itself.
Yeah.
Again, the problem AEW have is that packing of the roster. I mean, right now, you look, they've got Omega on top, they've got Christian, they've got Punk, they've got Danielson, they've got Adam Cole. Bray Wyatt appears to be coming in. KO could be in a few months. Sami Zayn could be in a few months. Finn Balor, whenever his contract's up.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people to fit in a 3-hour a week slot as far as time.
You need 40 shows a week to put on TV because you've got so many wrestlers.
And you've also got the problem is you want to build up their guys like the Orange Cassidy's and the MJFs and Brian Pillman Jr. and Jungle Boy and things like that. But you've got to do it as a balance, so you're not pushing them down in favor of the Punks and the Danielsons. And it's
we've already seen a couple of people. I think it was Brian Cage, as disgusting as a human being he is to look at. He's already said he's not happy with these guys coming in and taking his spot, and he wants to make the jump the other way, is what I've read. So it's gonna happen. There's gonna be guys there that have been there from the beginning.
That'll be it. It's who's gonna be the first one to jump the other way? Because I think AEW, their initial contract's 3 years, so. Yeah. They're up next year. Now, Jericho's technically is up next year. I still believe he's going back for his Hall of Fame induction.
He will work a deal out, which gets him there. Yep, definitely.
He will go back. I don't know when it be up. I don't know if it will be the Hall of Fame next year, maybe the year after. But he will go back in a part-time main event role a la Dwayne Johnson, and he will get that Hall of Fame headline induction because he's got to get it, and he'll know how to work it. And they're working back with open arms, and the fans will love him like he's never been away.
Yeah, I think he's an absolute fucking scumbag. But if he makes a return just completely out of the blue, like no sort of talk about it or anything, just like Jericho just appears one day with the arms out wide and the jacket on, the lights and stuff, like the fucking roof will blow off a building that happens in.
Yep.
And they know that as well, because he's still, as much of a super spreading arsehole that he is still a massive name in wrestling.
The annoying thing is he knows it more than anyone, and he knows how to work a deal.
Yes, exactly. He's a very good businessman. He was taught very well. Who was the first WWE guys to jump across, like big dogs? Was it the Radicals? Like big names that really came across.
Are you saying bigger than the Big Boss Man then? Because no, seriously, because I remember when he would.
Well, when he came back.
When he came up in late 98, that was a genuine, that was like, oh my God, the Boss Man. It wasn't just the fact that he made the jump back over, but it's the fact that it was the Big Boss Man who hadn't been seen on WWE TV since 93, since
the blue Boss Man.
And that was huge. Like, the Big Boss Man is back, and he's in a main event program with Austin, with the, you know, with the corporation. Outside of that, X-Puck came over, didn't he?
I suppose that was quite a big one, wasn't it? Yeah, the
X-Puck was huge. The DX
night after Mania, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was it.
Yeah,
X-Puck then, and then probably is going to be the Radicals when they left. And went the other way.
That was quite late on. They saw the signs that WWE was about to.
That was 2000. That was about 14 months before the end there.
Mm.
But yeah, I think it was more heavy. Haku came in for a spell, didn't he? In 2001, that was weird. While he was still WWE Hardcore Champion, he was working without a contract. I think that's probably the big ones that I can think of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you need some of the... It needs to be the originals. Like, the Xbox thing was a massive thing. But yeah, for me, when Benoit and Guerrero and Saturn and Malenko turned up, although they're ECW guys or whatever, but I knew it was WCW guys. If Hangman Page turns up, or Omega won't, but if someone like that, MJF, suddenly appears on Raw.
The issue, and MJF is a hell of a talker and a hell of a heel, and a part of me thinks he could flourish under Vince. My other concern is that if Vince looks at Hangman Page, who I do like him, yeah. I like his entrance music as well. I did catch a video of his return on Dynamite last week, and it was a moment. I'll admit it was a genuine good moment. And his entrance with the Dark Order a few months ago again was a very, very well produced. And I'll credit AEW. I don't like their owner and CEO / GM / everything else he appears to be, head of creative. Some of the stuff they have presented, CM Punk's initial return, well produced, great moment to watch. The Page return. If Vince looks at Adam Page, he looks at MJF, is he really just seeing like...
You're seeing Bobby Roode, isn't
small,
he? He's seeing...
Small mid-guy guy. Yeah, he can talk. Yeah, fine. Hey, let's make him a manager for a big heel and let's change his name, Adam Cole. I don't think they would see what everyone else sees he could be, because Vince will always see 300-pound monsters. Look at the development of the performance center, NXT. The whole thing's changed. It's now we're not looking for indie guys. We're looking for guys we can train from scratch, train the WWE way and mold them. And this
is
why
Vince can't wait to get his hands on Brian Cage.
Probably. My first thing would be sorting out why the fuck he just can't call Bron Breakker Rex Steiner. I'm sorry. I get it's a copyright thing. I absolutely get they want to own all the IPs and they want to own their name. So if they go on down the line, they can still keep that. Fine. But if you've got a guy who looks like Rick Steiner, who sounds like Scott Steiner, and wrestles like a combination of the two, why wouldn't you milk that name?
Yeah. One of the most prestigious names in wrestling.
And more to the point, he's good. Like,
yeah, he's really
he looks the part, he talks the part. Fuck, he sounds like Scott Steiner, and he wrestles like Rick and Scott.
Yeah,
and he's going to be champa in a couple of weeks, a Halloween Havoc, and win the NXT Championship.
Yeah,
Bron Breakker, Parker Bordeaux, big Brock Lesnar lookalike kid. He debuted on NXT last week, Harland.
Do you think Vince just caught some of your Champions League?
Wow, I don't know.
It's good. Looks like a robot.
H-A-R-L-A-N-D. Just he actually did have a first name. They scrapped the first name, obviously. Just Harland. It could have been worse. Don't get me wrong. On NXT now, they've got Joe Gacy. He's like a woke character. They've got Tony D'Angelo. He's like an Italian gangster.
Yeah, that's like, just full-blooded Italians for me.
Yeah. All these, like, I'll read the reports of NXT 2.0. Surely it's 3.0, but anyway.
Yeah, like, that's fine. Yeah.
And it's just constant, like, here's new characters. Well, who are they? Yeah, don't matter. And it's just, throwing shit at a wall and none of it's sticking at the moment.
No, they didn't need the rebrand. They could have brought these guys in under this old thing and it would have been fine. Like, they promoted Isaiah Swerve as part of the, Scott as part of the Hit Row. He's North American champion, but he's not on NXT anymore.
And he hasn't defended the belt since June.
Since he won it.
Since he won it. So, what's the point?
It's odd. Yeah, it's very odd. We're going to see, I'm just looking back through NXT history now, and some of the incredible main events, and it's going to be very different very soon. Like O'Reilly versus Cole in an unsanctioned match, and you had Becky and Sasha and Bayley and all those sort of main events. And it's going to be very weird.
It does make me think that our prediction some time ago that one day we'll see Pete Dunne and Tyler Bateman at WrestleMania, I think, is now off the table.
But he needs to be on the main roster. He needs to be on SmackDown.
I look at
Pete Dunne versus Roman for a week.
That'll do. I look at NXT UK, and Walter's not been seen since he lost the UK Championship.
Yeah, in a fucking incredible match, by the way. We haven't talked about this. That's match of the year.
Yes.
Match of the
year. Oh, my God.
I've never seen those two wrestle before. That's my first ever experience of Walter and Dragunov, was it?
Didn't you watch their first one?
No, I missed that first one. I've since watched that first one. And
what
Jesus
one's better?
Christ.
Which one was better? The first one or second? Yeah.
I watched it with Nikki. She's, what are we watching? This isn't wrestling. This is just two men beating the shit out of each other.
This is what's called slapping meat. That's it. Thing is, what sold it for me more is after the match when Dragunov won, the ref handed him the belt. Yeah. And he had a look of, why are you giving it to me? He's like, you won it.
Yeah.
What?
He sold it as like the Shawn Michaels boyhood dream. Like he'd won the belt.
In that moment, I don't think there was a better babyface on the earth than Ilya Dragunov.
No. Because he's an underdog. He was the biggest underdog possibly ever in the main event against someone like Walter. To win that, it's mad.
See, I wanted Walter to come to NXT, but I don't know if I want him in this NXT.
No, he doesn't belong in this NXT.
And as much as Walter versus Rex Steiner, I'm not calling him Run Breaker, Steiner versus Walter.
Yeah.
Oh God, yes. Yeah. Ciampa versus Walter. Yes. But then I look higher and I look at the main roster. And if you forget Survivor Series a few years ago and you think if Walter is treated right, big fucking if. But if he's treated right, Walter versus Drew, Walter versus Big E, Walter versus Sheamus, Walter versus Roman. That
imagine he turns up at the end of December's pay-per-view after Big E's beaten someone and he just puts Big E through the fucking ring. Like,
yeah, imagine Walter debuts at the Rumble.
Yeah,
what if he debuted? What if that big moment, his debut in the Rumble?
Yeah, good God, yeah.
Okay, yes, the draft, Raw, overwhelming win. I'll get they got the extra hour to fill, and the last couple of weeks of Raw have been better than previous. I don't know how difficult that is, but it's been better.
Yeah. They've made an effort.
They have. Right, Crown Jewel. That's coming up next Thursday.
Should we run through the card?
Yeah, what we got? What's the card?
We have got... So the latest match I did was Mansoor versus Mustafa Ali because they've just broken up weirdly in time for this big Saudi Arabian show with the two Middle Eastern
wrestlers.
Mansoor
can go to his home country and ring again. Okay.
Yep. Which is fine. You've got Edge versus Seth in a Hell in a Cell, which could steal the show completely. And that's going to be very good. You've got the final of the Queen's Crown tournament. Just call it Queen of the Ring, for fuck's sake. You've got Zelina Vega or Carmella versus Baszler or Doudrop. You'd imagine Shayna Baszler.
Have you seen so far the total combined match time for the women's matches? I don't think we've even taken 10 minutes yet.
Yeah, no, the women's revolution is dead. Strong in 2021.
It's dead. It's dead. Is what it is.
Yeah. Until this week on SmackDown, we'll get to that in a second. Probably Baszler, who I imagine will just stomp the shit out of that crown and just throw it away. Doesn't need that, does she? You've got Sami Zayn or Finn Balor. We know who's going to win that one. Taking on the winner of Jinder or Xavier Woods.
I'm on Jinder.
I'm all for Jinder. I like this new Jinder. Jinder versus Balor in the final. Let's have it. It'll be a good match.
Yep.
Goldberg versus Bobby in a no holds barred. Should be good if Goldberg's legs can last long enough. So highly doubt.
Maybe Gage will come in and pin Lashley. Spoiler.
Murder him. Shiv him. No, the Saudi Arabia after all. You got Big E versus Drew for the World Championship, which should be knockdown, drag out match between those two boys.
I think this is we're going back to the big meaty men slapping meat here.
Yep, it's going to be fantastic. You got RK Bro taking on Styles and Omos for the tag team championships
again.
Seen it before, but it should be good. Always is. You got Becky versus Belair versus Banks in the 3Bs match for the SmackDown Women's Championship.
Even though two of them are on Raw now.
Yeah, so Sasha wins. You think?
I'd still put Becky. I think Becky's going to win still.
Yeah, I think Sasha's going to win and then obviously lose to Charlotte on Friday night. The night after.
So, would Charlotte then have two titles?
Yeah. Just
why not? Sure, why not? Okay, Charlotte. Yeah, fine. Yeah, okay. Oh, very quickly, did you see Ric Flair's tweet wishing Tony Khan a happy birthday?
Did he?
This was brilliant. This is Ric Flair. Obviously, cancelled Ric Flair, obviously, but that's another thing we could maybe go on to. So Rick, obviously everyone wished Tony Khan a happy birthday, fine, whatever.
Yeah.
Ric Flair thanked Tony Khan for being his friend or something, and then basically made the tweet all about Ric Flair. So he put a picture of Flair with TK. He put a picture of Flair in the ring. He put a picture of the big gold belt, and he put a picture of the Attitude Era Winged Eagle, which is a belt he never actually held.
No. All completely irrelevant.
Nothing, Tony Khan nothing matching the happy birthday.
But you got confused because it was around the same time that the guy who designed a winged eagle died. So
yeah, Reggie Parks.
Yeah,
grown up watching
the greatest wrestling belt ever.
Oh yes, don't at us. We're not arguing.
Don't give a fuck. You're wrong.
We've done this show. Best belts. We've done it. Winged eagle every time.
Bret Hart with the winged eagle belt.
Winged eagle, big gold. Done. That's it.
There you go. That's all you need. And then headline in the show, I'm presuming, is Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar.
Big dog versus the ponytail.
I love Brock new look. Absolutely. I like Brock talking again. I do love Heyman, but Brock just seems confident and happy doing everything that he is.
I like babyface Brock.
Yeah, it's great. I love his new t-shirt. I just wish he'd do some more suplexes, like not just Germans, like do some other suplexes. Because call it German Suplex City otherwise, because you don't do any others. Like there are other suplexes out there.
Suplex City.
And they're never very good, the Germans. Unless he's against someone like Finn or when he just absolutely ragdolled Dean Ambrose around the ring at WrestleMania. Roman's too big to take Germans from Brock. Like,
well, he's going to have to work something next week because it's going to be a long-ish match because it's Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
And so he's going to have to do something more than just Germans, you'd imagine.
Yeah, I think this devolves into a no-holds-barred match just throughout the middle of it and weapons get involved.
We're not seeing a pinfall. That's for damn sure.
No one's losing this. Paul Heyman just cancels the match.
I mean, if this doesn't end with like a custody of Paul Heyman on a ladder or something, you know. I did see a report that apparently Brock and Roman have got several matches planned over the next sort of year to 18 months. So they're coming back to this at some point.
Remember 3 years ago when we were so fucking sick of these two facing each other?
And now we're all for it.
All it took was
Roman going heel and Brock growing the ponytail. That's all it took for us to change our opinions.
For it, the big lumberjack match. I loved Brock interrupting Jeff Hardy the other week as well.
I've got a better flannel shirt than you. He did, to be fair. He did.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, it looked much better. So that is Crown Jewel. It's a pretty good card.
It's a stacked card that I still can't get behind because it's in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, so it's my own personal opinions, but I don't give a fuck about their personal what they do in Saudi Arabia.
Don't get me wrong. If they want to be head people, crack on for your boots.
Right?
If you want to buy football clubs, do what you want. That's not a problem.
Yeah.
But
a lot of this should be on Mania.
Don't go and fire people for budget reasons when you're being paid $100 million to do this show.
Yeah, there's no budget issues in the delivery.
That is my issue with it. If they've done this,
fair.
Although I do wonder if AEW beat SmackDown's half hour this Friday, and I mean crush it smaller than the smallest dot you can find,
imagine
what's the odds this gets made into WrestleMania Crown Jewel?
Oh, God. Yeah, there's talk of SummerSlam Survivor Series in the UK next year.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I don't think they're reverse this anymore, are they? It doesn't matter. Pay-per-view times, the pay-per-view buys aren't a thing anymore. So,
just as a panic, so, Crown Jewel's now WrestleMania Crown Jewel, and they make it like the biggest thing in the world.
If Vince can say, I need $300, $400 million to hold WrestleMania there, they'll pay that in a heartbeat.
If SummerSlam does come to the UK next year, I assume that's a Ring the Bell outing.
Oh, fucking right.
Okay, yes.
Even if we can't get tickets, we're going to be in wherever it is. Cardiff, I think, is what was talked about. But
yeah, fine. Okay, whatever. I like Wales.
Yeah,
that's fine.
Yeah, Wales is a nice place.
I like Wales.
We'll go and just be around the whole event. But
I plan on being there. I can't not be at a major WWE pay-per-view in the UK.
Just okay, watch it. It's in Britain. That's what our fans do.
It'd be fine. It worked at Wembley, didn't it? In the Euros. Exactly. I'm sure that was fine.
Just rush in.
Yeah. Okay, so that's Crown Jewel. Could be great, has potential to be the show of the year.
I'm gonna watch my first Crown Jewel.
Wow,
yeah.
I mean, we do have an announcement coming at the end of the show in regards to the immediate future of Ring the Bell, but it might have to be delayed by a week or so because I think we're gonna have to talk about Crown Jewel next week. I think we're gonna have to.
The only thing I've ever seen from Crown Jewel is
Shawn Michaels
hitting Kane so hard his hair fell off, and was Titus falling under the ring Crown Jewel?
Was Crown Jewel, I believe.
Two massive highlights so far in their historic run of Crown Jewels.
Yeah, Triple H tore his pec, and Shawn Michaels kicked Kane's hair off.
Yeah. Brilliant stuff.
Yep. Okay, so that's Crown Jewel. That's the draft. Okay, Ric Flair. Fuck it. We're all over the place anyway. Let's do it.
Yeah.
So,
been a busy boy, ain't he?
Dark Side of the Ring. We'll know about it. I really enjoy it. I haven't caught up on season 3 fully yet. But no, for anyone that hasn't seen them, season 1 and 2 is on all 4 now, I believe. Yeah. And season 3 should probably be on there once season 3 finishes, I think.
Yeah, it should be all long. In one.
So, they had an episode about a plane ride from hell. We've all heard about it. We've heard multiple retellings, people's accounts, blah, blah, blah. Someone getting their ponytail chopped off. Lesnar fighting with Kurt Hennig and the plane and all sorts
almost
of stuff.
Almost opening the door.
And on this episode, they had one of the stewardesses from that flight. And she alleged, amongst other things, that Ric Flair cornered her. This is Ric Flair wearing only a robe, which, from what we've heard, is standard fare for Ric Flair. Only wearing a robe, doing the airplane spin, if we could be so graphic, with his penis. Mm-hmm. And basically, not basically, literally forcing this poor, scared stewardess to touch him there. Which in itself is bad. It's really bad. And can't be excused. Well, it's just boys blowing off steam, having a few drinks. Sexual assault. It's not a, you know, what made it even worse, made it even worse, is that Tommy Dreamer, a talking head on this particular episode of Dark Side of the Ring, just excused it as Ric Flair just having a laugh. He's Ric Flair. He's a legend. He can do what he wants, the cheeky little scoundrel.
The old granddad. He's got Alzheimer's. Just leave him alone.
What did you think of this?
It's horrific. Like, the stuff we knew about the plane ride from hell before wasn't great as it was. I mean, awful. My guy's getting his ponytail cut off, the stupid idiot. But, like, it takes it to a next level. It's not funny. It's not an entertaining road story anymore. It's a sexual assault by a wrestler that's taken, 20-odd years, more than that, to actually come out what really happened. It just baffles me how it takes so long. Like, I'm not trying to defend what happened, because she'd not have reported it when they landed and said, like, this happened to me. Maybe that did happen and no one took it seriously until the documentary crew came knocking. But
I remember... Do you remember Ashley Massaro?
Yes.
I thought she passed away, no longer with us. Did you hear about the story, the allegations, and say what she wrote about either in a book or she told someone?
Yes.
That they were on one of their Afghanistan tours for Tribute to the Troops. And she alleges that she was raped by military personnel.
Yeah.
And she told Vince and Bruce Pritchard and John Laurinaitis and the higher-ups. And she was basically told, don't say anything because it will ruin... the relationship we have with the military, and we can't really afford to fuck that up.
Yeah.
And you think
it's disgusting, but I don't for a second think that what she's saying is false. Like, I can 100% believe it. Because I'm a big NFL fan, and you scratch the surface of the NFL, it is a fucking seedy, disgusting mess. Like, wrestling's got to be the same. It's even worse, probably. It's
on
probably
the episode, they were talking about wrestlers slipping drugs into drink, and I think Marty Jannetty, of all people, has come out and said, or someone said about Jannetty, Shawn Michaels used to slip drugs into drinks of girls and get them back to the hotel room, and they can do what they want, and it's just like, fucking hell. Like, this is what happens when you give young men ultimate fame and money,
loads of money
and power, and feed the egos. And you tell them night in, night out, you're on top of the world, you can be whatever you want. People want to be you, people want to be with you. And then they're in that environment where stuff is readily available, and they build monsters, not just physically, but they build
literal monsters.
Horrible monsters who find the wherewithal and the desire and the ability to do horrible things. Yeah. And no matter no matter what he's done in his past and how much we've all said how much we loved Ric Flair growing up or watching his stuff on the network for only $9.99 or all the stuff that we've said great about Ric Flair, you cannot use... It's like Benoit. It's like the Benoit. Yeah. I'm not calling Ric Flair murder, obviously, but Chris Benoit... Well,
that we know of.
Oh, man, fuck knows. Wait for that season 4 to come out.
Yeah.
We on this show have said we will always respect and recognize Chris Benoit for the wrestler because that's all we're here to talk about on this show.
Yeah.
Chris Benoit, the man, his life ended that way and he chose to do that, whatever.
Yeah. We've both got wives and children. I could not imagine that happening. I'd do be able to do that. That's disgusting. But as a wrestler, one of the greatest I've ever seen.
Ric Flair has done this and he hasn't come out and denied it. Nice. You know, and people have said, yeah, that sounds like Ric Flair because that's what Ric Flair does. Cheeky scoundrel.
Yeah, exactly.
Nature boy. He's a wheeling, dealing son of a gun. But that's no excuse. Yeah. Like, so Richard Morgan Fleur, you are charged. Well, Judge. Woo! The limousine ride. Oldest ride, longest. But that's not a defense, Rick.
Like Jimmy Snuka murdered someone, Andrew, and got away with it. They covered it up for 20 odd years and until he was too old to defend himself. Insane,
and that was it.
Yeah. It's an absolutely disgusting world that we watch and have people that we admire and heroize as we're children. Like it's awful.
But the outcome of this immediate is that Tommy Dreamer has now been definitely suspended by Impact Wrestling.
Yeah.
Ric Flair's probably very likely lost that AEW job that was being lined up for him. Even off the topic of what happened in the plane ride, Bully Ray and Mark Henry have come under fire recently because they've essentially defended backstage bullying and they've just basically said, well, if you're not tough enough, you're fucking pointing. It's your fault.
It's the point in that. Not from Bully Ray. I fully expected that from Bully Ray, but from Mark Henry. I thought he was a nice guy. I always thought he seems like a good, genuine, nice guy.
I mean, this is the person who ate his own shit in a sandwich X-Puck put together as a rib. And that Mark Henry's out here now saying, yeah, it toughened you up. You've got to do it. It's like, no, you don't.
JBL
doesn't need to go into showers and allegedly rape young wrestlers. Yeah, he doesn't need to do that. You don't need to. If Orton wants to shit in someone's bag, No. I wouldn't go into the office, find someone's bag and shit in it. Why do that? Toughening you up. There's a bit of backstage banter.
Yeah.
No, it's
doesn't
not.
Work like that, does it?
That's workplace harassment. That's not what normal people do.
Yeah.
And you've got
it's an environment that's been fostered by the higher ups and they've let wrestlers court deal with it. And you buy them, take a six pack of beer and everything's fine after that.
Christ.
Yeah.
Wrestlers caught.
They recant these stories now, like it's just a bit of fun backstage. Like how the Undertaker had some beer out of it, and everyone was all good.
It's all fine. I mean, this is why you got people who could have been major stars now doing shoot interviews, sounding really really bitter because they didn't shake someone's hand or they didn't smile in the right way when they were spoken to by a locker room leader.
Yeah.
And now they're bitter, washed-up people charging $30 for an autograph at a Comic-Con, and they're a fucking builder or welder or something because they're not currently in the main event of a major pay-per-view where they should be. They're dead because they've taken overdoses because they're so depressed about how their wrestling career came to an end.
Yeah.
Can you brighten this up? Have you got what's the format? Have we got anything else we can brighten this topic up a bit because it's gone really fucking dark.
We're taking a break for a little bit.
Is that a good thing? Fucking hell, okay. In better news... Our
commenters on iTunes.
Let's address this now. Fine, let's do this right now. So, at the end of every show, we always ask for feedback. We always ask to leave us a nice a rating and a review. Mm-hmm. We ask for that. It's not a lot to ask for. So,
no.
And we got a review. I woke up a few weeks ago and I got a notification. Oh, you've had a new review on iTunes, Apple Podcasts. Brilliant, okay. Log on, see what it is.
Yeah.
Entry Blue. Aintree Blue is the username.
Yeah.
This person gave us 1 star. Okay. Whatever.
Fine.
Fine. We're big enough. Yeah. We can take a star. Not a problem. This show is terrible. Don't be fooled by the 5-star ratings. Those are just from the hosts.
I mean, that bit's true. That's fine. You have to review your own podcast.
This is the most cringe-worthy wrestling podcast you'll hear.
Yeah, that bit I don't get. How are we cringe-worthy?
I mean,
he's an AEW fan. He's butthurt, isn't he? That's what it is.
Probably, yeah. I mean, do we need to start doing, like, Blue Chew adverts and Manscaped promo reads and stuff and cut to advert and commercial all the time? Omaha Steaks. If you want to get 10% off first order, use Ring the Bell. Don't.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, mm. I mean,
I'm just looking at Aintree Blue's other reviews that he's given on iTunes. All four reviews, all 1 star. One of them's for a browser. Well, looks like the images aren't loading, but he tried the browser. There's not too many ads. This other app crashes seriously all of the time. And another one's constant problems. When it works, videos and better than stories never work. So he's an angry man, Aintree Blue. All reviews he's left on iTunes and they're all 1 star.
But thanks for the interaction. Thanks for the review. Thank you for getting in touch. We encourage anyone else to do the same. Cringy, good, so-so, whatever. Put it on the background, anything. But yeah. Thank you for the listen, because he obviously gave us a listen before we determined that we were the most cringe-worthy wrestling podcast you will hear.
I mean, that's not true.
I mean, is that a challenge? I mean, we could. I don't really know what we need to do to get to that point. But
it's got to be more cringeworthy ones than us. Surely, I don't think we're that cringy.
Okay. So not on the back of that, but maybe we give the people what they want. So Aintree Blue, this one is for you. We are going to take a short break. As Ross said at the end of the show, I'm getting married this weekend. So I've taken some time off work. And obviously that is my sole focus right now. And Ross, you recently started a new job. And also from what I can work out, running the social media pages, or at least one of them for your new employer.
Yeah, I am. Yeah.
I only knew because I saw your dog in one of them. And I was like, that seems like a Ross
he's all over.
Caption.
He's all over Facebook.
Are you just doing the Instagram? Are you doing the Facebook as well?
Other Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter.
Did you have to create new ones for them? Did they have them already in place?
They had a Facebook, which hadn't been used for 6 months. Now it's been used every day for the past 3 weeks. And I had to create Twitter and Instagram for them as well. Yeah.
So does Rufus now become a major, major internet star?
I'm trying. I'm really trying.
Okay, cool. If anyone wants to follow them, what's the web addresses for that well-known pet chain?
It's Jolly's. I work for Jolly's now in Gosport. If you're a Hampshire local, come and see me. Say hello, bring your dog in. We'll give them treats and we'll play with them and have some fun. It's Jolly's on Jolly Gosport on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, everywhere, basically. Just search for that. Like it. Thanks.
There we go. Is it weird doing a plug for something that's not ringing the bell?
It is. I don't even plug Man on the Post. Like I did my first Man on the Post podcast in 3 years yesterday.
3 years?
Yeah, I don't do anything with that anymore.
3 years?
I just rake in the money and they do all the work for me.
When you say rake in the money?
Oh, we got $60 paid to us from Maycast for 11 years worth of work. So, raking it is.
Wow.
I'm going to retire soon.
And who said this wasn't a profitable business, eh? You only work at Jolly's just for the laughs and for the dogs. That's it.
60 quid a week. 60 quid every 11 years is fine for me. That's enough.
Yeah, I do. That's fine. Yeah. Probably more than Aintree Blue gets, the fucking idiot. Okay. So we're going to take a short break. But we're not going to be wasting our time doing nothing within that time because we are planning some new deep dives and we fucking love a deep dive.
We do.
We do. We took a break because we want to focus on 3-minute warning, which we're going to do some more of those as well. We're going to get back into watching that. We're coming up to SummerSlam 2002. Shawn Michaels in ring return. Brock Lesnar's ascension to the top of WWE. And still the fallout from Stone Cold chucking his ball and going home.
Yeah.
So we're going to be back soon. Not going to put a time frame on it. And we're not going to put out some flashbacks. We're just going to just go radio silent for a bit. We'll still be active on Twitter to an extent. And obviously say Crown Jewels next week. And we might probably do one more show reviewing that because we are both going to watch it. I will be still off work post wedding, and yes,
what better way to spend the honeymoon period, Andrew, than watch?
Well, there we go. There we go. The new home of Newcastle United Football Club, the place where people go to lose their heads, yeah, and that is how we're gonna celebrate that one when we come back. So yeah, we're hopefully back next week with one more show before we take a little break. But then when we do, we're going to come back with some big deep dives, and one we've mentioned before, so we're not sort of spoiling anything, but we are planning, and this is going to be a biggie. I don't know if it's going to be a four-part like Shawn Michaels, but it's going to be packed full of content. We're going to deep dive the one, the only, the Macho Man Randy Savage.
Stuff in there. I'm already excited to talk about Macho Madness in WCW. Bonesaw is ready.
We will also briefly look over the TNA.
Oh shit! Yeah,
the one match. The one match. Also, remember him appearing on Thunder during the Russo Bischoff era as part of the Millionaires Club. He came out for one angle and was never seen again.
Of course, he did.
So we're going to cover that. So yeah, we're going to do a whole lot of research, and we're going to watch some stuff and some footage, and we're going to take our time with it because we don't want to rush back. We want to make sure we're back ready and healthy and fit and as much as we can be in the podcast, and want to bring you some good stuff that hopefully isn't too cringeworthy, ain't True Blue? So yeah, that's what we're looking at as the roadmap over the next few months with Ring the Bell.
Yes, exciting stuff coming up. Can't wait.
Also, on a personal note, this coming weekend, or depending on when you hear this, there will be a mini Ring the Bell reunion. Myself, Ross and Ed are going to be all in the Portsmouth area for a little pre-wedding meal that I'm having. Hoping that Coleman, the glue that holds us all together, hoping that he will be there. I know the
original man that brought me on board.
He is. He essentially is the Nick Fury to our Avengers initiative. He basically is what that is. He is our Nick Fury.
Who are you, Cap? Iron Man.
Yeah. I'm looking right now at a Cap shield on the wall and about £1,000 worth of Cap Funkos around me. So yeah, I'd probably say it's that. But yeah, I mean, I don't know who that makes the Hulk and
Ali.
Yeah, actually, without a doubt. Without a doubt. The Hulk in terms of the scientist or the angry green man?
Oh, the angry green man. He's a Scotsman. Sorry, Ali. Well, yeah, of course. I'm Ryan Talcott because no one cares about Hawkeye.
Hand in hand. Okay, right. So that's that. Anything else you got left on the format there?
Nothing. We're good, mate. I think we're all good. I think we filled it all in. Make sure you tune in to SmackDown this Friday. Watch it live if you can. That last half an hour, make sure you're tuned into SmackDown, commercial free SmackDown, for your main event, which I think is Sasha Banks versus Becky Lynch.
That reminds me, one more thing. AEW, very quickly before we go, we'll touch on it because it's all around. Have you seen any of the clips of like Punk or Brian or anything like that? Have you seen anything that's gone around about AEW recently?
Honestly, no. I've seen Punk being quite dangerous in the ring, dropping people on the neck. Apart from that, I've not seen a great deal, to be honest.
I think obviously in our group chats, Tony Khan's comments and stuff, and he's always seemingly saying something, or the AW Twitter account posting stuff, and you just think, just focus on your own shit.
Yeah,
like just get on with the show you're doing, and you're putting on some decent stuff with some good talent and some big names, and just let them do just their stuff, and
SmackDown's going, well, Rampage, sorry, is going head to head with SmackDown this Friday night for the last half an hour. Rampage's numbers last week were 466,000. SmackDown's were 2.3 million. Like,
and bear in mind that last week Rampage did have a advertised CM Punk match.
Yeah, this is, it's, he's pitched it perfectly, Khan. I'll give him that. He is in a win-win situation here. He cannot lose, can he? Like you said in our chat, he cannot lose this. SmackDown's on whatever, Fox. One of the biggest networks in America. Mm-hmm. Rampage isn't. I don't even know where you fucking watch Rampage. It's just going to destroy them. Wow, brilliant.
Or TBS or whatever it is.
I realize that's TNT the channel.
At the moment. Yeah.
That's where I used to watch WCW.
Yep.
30 years ago. But he can't lose. But if there's that very, very slight chance that he wins, which he won't, but if it happened, then we're never going to hear the end of it.
Plus, also, they can only compare the half hour. So yeah. SmackDown could do 2.2 million viewers as the average overall.
Yeah.
In that half hour slot, and I know they can do it in like the quarter hours and stuff, so they can do 2 quarter hours ratings and everything.
Yeah.
So, okay, fine. Whatever they've got in that slot, whether it be Punk versus Matt Sydal, basically Punk versus Evan Bourne that's who Matt Sydal is. That is the promoted match. I'm pretty sure that is him, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think that's him.
Matt Sydal, yeah, it is. Yeah.
Punk versus Evan Bourne is the advertised match for this coming week's Rampage.
Mm-hmm.
Up against commercial free Sasha Banks versus Becky Lynch. And somewhere on that show, Brock Lesnar returns to TV as well.
The power Vince has to say to Fox, the biggest TV network in America, yeah, we're going commercial free this last half hour. And they paid me $1 billion for this product.
They're chucking another half hour onto SmackDown this week. Yeah. It's a 2.5 hour SmackDown.
Yeah.
So, yeah, as I said, if they do win, Tony Khan's laughing. He can say that my show beat SmackDown for that half hour. If they lose, they can say, yeah, but it was close. Plus, maybe over the whole show, we would have beaten them. Just that half hour is not representative of it. He can't lose. And he's clever. I'll give him that. He's not dumb. He isn't. Yeah. But my God, man, just shut up.
Yeah, just stop talking. You've not heard once from Vince in this entire thing. Nope. Like,
and you won't do.
No, until it's proper serious. If it ever gets to that point where WCW got serious. But even then, you didn't hear Vince taking shots at WCW. They did it the professional way. They bought in the Tyson. They bought in the big names, put on the best storylines, and killed the other company. That's how he works. He is a ruthless businessman. He's not. He is still the greatest promoter in the world, regardless of what Dave Meltzer let me believe, of his fucking graphics he makes up. Vince is still the greatest promoter in the world.
I don't really have to follow that, to be honest. I think we could just end it there.
Yeah.
Okay, we might be back for one more show next week, looking at Crown Jewel. If not, then this is a temporary farewell, but we will be back with
This is a wrestling retirement. Man. We're coming back.
This is the Terry Funk. We are essentially Terry Funk of the podcast world right now. So we will be going away, but we absolutely will be back.
Yep.
So yeah, we just want to come here and catch up on what's going on and just to say what's going on and what's happening for us short term. That's it, really.
Been good fun. Yeah. I like getting on a microphone and talking absolute nonsense with you for an hour and a half at this point.
Yep.
Thanks for listening.
Thank you. Okay. If, like Angry Blue, you want to get in contact, you can do so in a multitude of ways on Facebook at Ring the Bell Show, on Twitter and Instagram, Ring the Bell Pod. Ross, what's the email address?
ringthebellpod@gmail.com.
If you want to give us a 5-star rating, that's 5 stars rating and a review. You can do so at Apple Podcasts. You can also like, share, subscribe, all the usual stuff you can do there. On Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music Podcasts, Stitcher, Anchor, TuneIn. If someone does podcasts, you will find us there.
We are everywhere.
And remember, shop at Jolly's for all your pet needs. If you don't have a pet, get a pet. Go to Jolly's. If you don't have a pet and you don't want a pet, just go to Jolly's. Just go and say hi to Ross and just look at the fish.
We have any fish bunnies, there? There's loads of fish. There's like 12 tanks of fish.
Everyone goes into looks at the gerbils,
bearded dragons. We've got the whole lot. Come and buy a praying mantis from me because no one else is buying them because they're fucking creepy. Come and get on while you can.
For all your pet needs, Jolly's. Okay, this has been Ring the Bell, not Man the Poster, not even Jolly's podcast. Despite what they think. Started with football and finches on bearded dragons and prayer mantis. And somewhere in the middle of that, we threw in some wrestling as well.
Yeah,
it's like you lucky fuckers. It's like a delicate recipe. If imagine with Delia, like, where are you? You know, you're bringing in some Newcastle blood money, you're taking in some prayer mantis, creepy little fuckers from there, chuck it in with a little bit of Brock Lesnar, a bit of Tony Khan and a whole lot of draft. Mix it all together for an hour and a half on Gas Mark 7. And what comes out but a perfectly, perfectly baked cake of audio greatness. Fuck you, Aintree Blue. Okay, right. We're not bitter. Honestly, we're not bitter. Thank you for the interaction and the review. This has been Ring the Bell. I've been Andrew.
I've been Ross. Andrew.
Yep.
Good luck for your wedding. Ring the Bell!
Oh, that's how we end the show.
there's no one else in the house.
Yeah, oh, my
one more time.
Revenue. Sorry, we've made £5 this month.
Wow. And I just know, for old time's sake, I can chuck on the end of this.
Brilliant.
Never going to have it again because it's never going to hopefully go back there again. But for a time, they were in the Thunderdome. And now we're done.
Good stuff.